The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno here in the studio. Oh, look at this. What a moment as we also welcome in the presenters of Football Americas.
Hey!
Sebastian Salazar and Hercules Gomez are here, of course, to reflect on that extraordinary game last night. The first ever final of the CONCACAF Nations League. And I tell you what, it's going to take some beating. The US, of course, in extra time, beating Mexico by 3-2. We could dedicate the whole program to this because there are so many different talking points. Let's just talk about how fun it was, how great this was just as an event, Seb.
Yeah, I mean, we're suckers on this show for like a top five list. We could have done a top 10 of the incidents in this match, and I don't think that we would have covered it all. The intensity was there. The USA-Mexico rivalry feels like it's back. It's been a while since we had a game that intense between these two teams. We've seen a lot of friendlies between them recently, and frankly, a lot of Mexico dominance in the big games. So aside from the intensity, the turning point, I mean, there's so much narrative, so much buildup with this U.S. team. It felt like a lot of payoff, I know, for a lot of U.S. fans. But really, everything in the game, from the fast start to the incredible finish, the heroics from Ethan Horvath, I don't think there's a storyline that this game didn't have, really. Herc?
Yeah, I agree. When you talk about good spurts of action,
I say who goes next.
Get him, Dan. Get him.
Goodness me. Can't even dress properly. What was interesting about this, that the quality wasn't necessarily that high from either side.
But you're right.
Just from an entertainment value, it had it all.
It really did have it all. Maybe the play wasn't there. Tactically, technically, it wasn't a great spectacle. But when you talk about the drama, when you talk about these intense moments, when you talk about what is USA versus Mexico, I mean, it's the eighth final that these teams have met, and only the second time that the U.S. has beaten Mexico in a final. It was a big moment, especially when you consider that the U.S. didn't particularly play well. Tactically, they probably got a lot of things wrong. The three-man back line, the three center backs, and two of the center backs are flanking John Brooks, had an awful day. Player selection in a lot of different spots. Acosta, you know, Yunus Musa not playing, Tyler Adams not being ready. When you say all this and how poorly they played, three of your European stars, the youngest players, your actual stars, Gio Reyna, Weston McKennie, and Christian Pulisic, scored goals. Your starting goalkeeper leaves injured, Zach Steffen. Horvath comes in, the substitute at the death, a walk-off penalty kick save. The dramatics were going everywhere. We can come and we could talk about Mexico and what they didn't do, but this final really felt big and it really had it all.
It did. Of course it did. I'm going to tell you this, and I don't want to overstate it. I don't want to hype things up. I can't remember watching a game and enjoying it as much as I did this one for a long, long time. You know me very well, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love many things.
No?
I don't.
Sebi Salazar is one of them.
I do not love Sebi Salazar. He knows that very well. But I love this game.
Yeah.
I really, really did. From the very first minute to the last minute, I cannot remember a game that kept my attention the way this game did. It was open. It was back and forth. It had absolutely, completely everything. And it had narratives everywhere, rhetoric everywhere. It was good individual performance, bad individual performances, good coaching decisions, bad coaching decisions, good defending, bad defending. And you can go from both teams, you can say good USA, bad USA, good Mexico, bad Mexico. It was all over the place. And because it had all of this, I think the ultimate exclamation point to this game was the referee when he went to VAR.
Go on, Ali. Go on.
Was a penalty.
Go on.
Give it the full screen and go, the biggest screen you can come up with. This, and then penalty!
he was so excited.
And that game actually deserved that point.
That's what a drama. Neither were penalties, were they, Seb?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the one called against Carlos Salcedo for me is just not a penalty. I know that refs are supposed to call things the same, whether it's first minute of the match or whatever, 110th minute of extra time, but you don't give that penalty there, and you definitely don't give it if you've got to overturn a non-call on the field. That's, I think, the biggest point there is you go to VAR, you're looking for something clear and obvious that there was a mistake made on the field. I don't think so. I think Salcedo's there first, and I think he's playing the ball, and he takes it away. So not a penalty for me. The second one for me is a penalty. Yeah, the Mexico penalty for sure. I think that was, you know, ball off the hand. Even if it's close range, the hand is well away from the body. So I do think that was a penalty, but the heroics from Horvath bail him out.
Herc, Pulisic had done nothing all game. He was pretty much anonymous. And then he steps up and takes that penalty. And what a pen.
Not only does he take it, you just said, what a pen, with authority. He roofs it. I mean, completely leaves Guillermo Ochoa helpless, can't do anything. When you talk about big moments, iconic moments in the history of what is this Clásico U.S. men's national team versus Mexico, that will go down as one of them. 115 minutes invisible. Did, really to the naked eye, not much. But when you look at the stats, he was very effective in the final third for the U.S. men's national team. Maybe that shows you how little the U.S. men's national team had going forward, but he was there. And when he needed to take the ball, when he needed to say, I am the new leader of this team, I want to be the next superstar here, what did he do? He won the game for the U.S. men's national team, and then he shushed the crowd. It is an iconic American moment for Christian Pulisic, one that will live in infamy for a lot, but in the hearts of many U.S. men's national team supporters for years to come.
And then that final twist.
Honestly, for those of us that have been fortunate enough to have played this game at a high level, you start seeing things and you start feeling things. I'm sitting at home, and the moment it's called a penalty, I told my kid who's sitting next to me, this guy's going to save it. Because that's the story.
Yeah, coming off the bench.
Yeah, coming off the bench. And I don't know if Herc has gone through something like this, but there are times in which you're warming up, whatever, and then the other goalkeeper on the other team gets injured. All of a sudden, he's not starting. That was the worst thing for me.
Right.
Because I'm thinking, now this guy's going to have a blinder. He wasn't supposed to be here. Now, all of a sudden, he's stopping everything. And that is exactly what Ethan Horvath did here. He showed up. He's making saves left and right and then makes the biggest save of them all. If you sold this as a movie script, people will be like, of course, the American is always winning. The American guy never dies in the end. Bruce Willis never dies. Yeah. Well, in this case, it happened in reality. The American guy did not die in the end and made the big save, and everybody's happy.
If I could jump on that really quickly, Ali's exactly right, because it is storybook. It is Hollywood-esque. I mean, he comes on off the bench in his hometown, the town he grew up in, of all, to save the day.
From a U.S. perspective as well, so much hype about some of the youngsters playing in Europe. You take a look at someone like Weston McKennie, had an awful start, Seb, but then really showed character. And this is going to be so key, isn't it, if the U.S. are going to get something done over the coming years, to have someone like that at the heart of the team.
Right. You know, Christian Pulisic's wearing the captain's armband, but I think we're starting to see there's a lot of other leadership on this team. And it's young guys, it's Tyler Adams. Last night it was Weston McKennie. You know, Hector Herrera puts his hands on McKinney's throat, and McKennie, to his credit, keeps his cool. And those corner kicks, man, that's been a problem for Mexico for a long time, and especially against the U.S. I remember watching U.S.-Mexico games back in the 90s. You'd be holding your breath every time there was a U.S. corner against Mexico. So it's no surprise that that's kind of the thing that did Mexico in. But, yeah, Weston McKennie, incredible. And it's just confirmation, guys. You know, you see where all these players for the U.S. are playing. It's logical that at some point they're going to overtake Mexico. This feels like that first step.
To the point of the corner kick struggles for Mexico. When I'm saying bad coaching, you see that McKennie is getting to every header on the corner kick. How do you give him a free run? How come nobody says, I'm going to pick this guy up, and at the very least, he's not going to get a free run? That should not be happening.
Apparently, we can only afford you for one more question, guys. Oh. Herc, obviously, you work a lot on ESPN Deportes, interacting with a lot of Mexican fans. How has this result been received?
It's funny because they're trying to play it off as if it doesn't matter. But this also coincides with what are the Mexican elections. So a lot of attention is divided here. But this matters. Tata Martino and his tenure is now thrown up in the air. This is definitely something now where now Tata Martino has an immense amount of pressure for Gold Cup to win it. And if not, we could be talking his job.
Guys, yeah, thank you very much.
It's a big deal, whatever they say.
Yeah, Seb, whatever you're saying. Right, okay, just a reminder, you can hear Seb and what he had to say and whether or not it was relevant or important.
Well, probably not.
On the latest edition of Football Americas, which is available to watch now here on Plus.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
As always, extra time available over on our YouTube channel. That was yesterday. Stevie back today alongside Robbo. We also welcome Craig Burley to the show as well to discuss Manchester City and their potential summer transfer. This is what Mark Ogden has been writing over on the website. Pep Guardiola regards Jack Grealish as important a target as Harry Kane. Aston Villa's £33 million club record move for Norwich midfielder Buendia has given City encouragement that a deal could be done for Grealish, who's rated at £100 million by Villa. Grealish signed a five-year contract to stay at Villa Park in 2020. Stevie, I feel drawn to you first because we've talked about Jack Grealish off camera. And you're not that excited about him compared to others.
I don't think he's a Man City player. You know, the one thing that I do dislike about the way Jack Grealish plays, and don't get me wrong, I think he's a great player. But I think he could be better. He has far too many touches on the ball. And if you think of Man City, you're talking one and two touch and movement. And a going at pace. Jack Grealish is three and four touches. It's almost like he's trying to get a foul rather than look for a pass or play somebody in. So, listen, yes, he's worth £100 million to Aston Villa because, you know, without him, they probably wouldn't be in the Premier League right now. So to them, he's worth £100 million. I wouldn't pay £100 million for him.
Craig?
Well, what I would say is that Guardiola's not just a coach, and the guys might agree or disagree. He's not just a coach who spends big money in players and then that's it. He, I think, makes a lot of players better. Raheem Sterling, I think, is a case in point. I mean, OK, he's not been in great form the last 6 months, but over the piece at Man City, I think Guardiola has improved his game unbelievable. So I think he improves players, and I think there is a room for improvement. I agree on that, what Stevie said. I think there's room for improvement there in Jack Grealish, but I think he's a super player. And I think Guardiola sees something that he can work with and that he can improve and he can get better and he can enhance Man City. But where I disagree is that he's more important than a out-and-out quality frontman. And I'll tell you why. Man City have plenty of people at the moment that can do similar things to Jack Grealish. But they don't have people that can do what Sergio Aguero has given them for a decade. And I know they have Gabriel Jesus, but I count him in that sentence. He will not do what Aguero did over the piece. He'll get a few goals now and again, but he can't deliver what Aguero could. And then there'll be people that will say, well, you know, they did it for the most part up to the Champions League final this season without a striker. Yeah, but you're not going to do that every year. So it is hugely important, more important, I think, personally, to bring in a quality frontman than it is to go and splurge the bulk of the money on another attacking midfielder when I look at my squad and think, oh, which attacking midfielder will I play today? So I don't agree with the more important part.
What do you think, Robbo?
Well, I agree with Craig in terms of they need a centre-forward, that's for sure. But I would say Jack Grealish is different to the other players they've got. When you look at De Bruyne, he's a passer of the ball. Bernardo Silva is a passer of the ball, plays around pressure. When you look at Sterling, he's a runner in behind. Jack Grealish is a good 1v1 runner with the ball. That's what he brings to Aston Villa. That's what he's brought to England in the last couple of games. He can go past people in and around the box. And Man City have been brilliant this season. They had two or three games against Chelsea where they didn't really create too much in and around the box. And that's why I think he's interested in Jack Grealish, because he's something different to what the other players have got.
But Robbo, so can Phil Foden do all those things. So can Riyad Mahrez do all those things. You know, one-on-one players.
I'm not sure they can.
Oh, you're telling me Riyad Mahrez doesn't take people on and around the box? I mean, how many dummies has he sold people over the last 3 or 4 years?
But,
and we've seen how good Phil
Riyad Mahrez
is
a player that's coming in front. Riyad Mahrez is playing on the right-hand side and he's coming on his left foot and he's getting crosses in. And he can drop his shoulder. But I think Jack Grealish is the player in 1v1 situations. I would imagine, I'm not sure about this in terms of stats, he's probably gone past more players this season than any other player in the Premier League in terms of beating somebody and going past and getting the other side of them. And that's what I think he would bring Man City.
Robbo.
I'm not saying he's the world's best player, but I still think he is the player that can go past people.
But Robbo, but Jack Grealish goes past people in the middle of the park. That's generally when you see him doing that. On the odd occasion, if he gets in the box, he'll try and beat somebody. But he's running past people from the middle of the park. That's not how Manchester City play. Manchester City pass the ball from back to middle to front. Mm. Now, if you think that Pep Guardiola is going to change what has made them so great over the last 5-6 years to buy one guy and change the way they play, I don't see it. I just don't see him as being a Manchester City player.
Well, Pep Guardiola obviously does, because he's interested in him and he's been talking about him for quite a while. And I think he's the player that they're looking
at. We're being told, but...
Yeah. I see him. Yeah. I have
don't
to
don't
be
believe
honest.
It when you read the papers.
Well, I've got to be honest. I do see him fitting in at any club. To be honest, if his attitude's right. So I've no argument with him going to Man City and what Pep might do with him and how he can improve him and how that intense nature of his coaching will see a better Jack Grealish, and even better. My point is, and I think it was on the graphic, was he's seen as more important than, and I know Robbo disagrees slightly, but I still think we can't disregard the need for somebody who's going to bang you 30 goals plus a season. There's a reason Robert Lewandowski is what he is. There's a reason Harry Kane and Erling Haaland are what they are. We've just seen France pull Karim Benzema, almost beg him to come back into the squad, because this position is super important. And I don't think because City had a pretty good season without a natural striker, we should get away from that.
The actual first point I said there, Craig, was I agree with you 100%. A centre-forward has to be their best option. He's the player that can... centre-forward they need.
Now, Robert.
But I also
stick
think Jack
guns.
Grealish is the player that can go past people.
Away from Jack Grealish and Stevie having a go at Mark Ogden's sources, Kevin De Bruyne joined the Belgium squad today, of course, having surgery to his face after the Champions League final. Of course, this weekend we saw Kevin De Bruyne, of course, announced as the PFA Player of the Year. This, of course, the award that is voted for by the players. Ruben Dias winning the Football Writers Award. Steve, is this similar to you when you won it? Football Writers, you won. Mark Hughes won the PFA. Is that right?
It looks like it.
So why do players vote for attacking players?
I don't actually know. I couldn't answer that question. I don't know. I can't answer you that. It seems to be a thing these days. You know, back in the day, if you look at the history books, then the same player would win both, generally. But it seems to be the other way around now. It's almost because one has been voted for, then they kind of try and figure out how they can get somebody else in. That's how it feels.
I'll tell you why. Most people are numpties, most players.
Right.
That's why when it comes to voting.
That's summed up nicely on this show, really.
Yeah.
Robert, who would you have voted for?
Oh, Kevin De Bruyne all day long. He's still a great player. He sees passes that nobody else can see. Why not give it to him?
Because Ruben Dias was more key, wasn't he, to Manchester City's success?
In terms of he played, yeah, he's a very good defender. But in terms of opening up the opposition, Kevin De Bruyne is the best passer in world football at the moment. He can pick passes that nobody else can see. Even when you're commentating on games and you're looking from above, you still can't see the passes that he can. So I would always have him down as a top player, and I'd have voted for him.
Who would you have voted for, Ali?
I would have voted for Ruben Dias simply because he transformed the way that Manchester City played defensively. And if we've been critical, Manchester City in the past has been that defensively they've had their flaws. And he came in and said, well, no flaws anymore. And so now, instead of outscoring teams, we're going to grind out results. And we're going to win 1-0. We're going to win 2-1. And it's going to be because defensively we're going to be very solid. When have we said that about a Manchester City team? Well, we had to say it this year because offensively they were not as good as they have been in the past.
Meanwhile, you may have heard that Spurs... Go on.
I'll tell you what. Manchester City might have won nothing this year, right? Without Dias. And Kevin De Bruyne could still have been the PFA Player of the Year because he's the greatest passer on God's earth right now. So it depends what you're looking at. You know, Do you want a guy who solidified the title for Manchester City, the Premier League, as tough a league as there is to win in the world, or do you just go with who you think is the best player? What is it, the best player, or is it the MVP, shall we call it, because that's what they call it over here?
If I wasn't voting for Ruben Dias, which you know I would have on both fronts, I would actually, if you made me force me that I couldn't pick two for the same two guys, I would actually have gone for Ilkay Gundogan. Ilkay Gundogan did something he hasn't ever done in terms of the amount of goals that he scored. It was key for Man City. He had his biggest goal-scoring tally, I think, in his career at a time when they had no striker. So we saw what happened when stupidly Guardiola played him as a defensive midfielder in the Champions League final and negated his form going forward. So don't get me wrong, they're all brilliant players, but you know, if you're looking for somebody that did something out with what he normally does, I thought, you know, one, it was Dias to win it, and two, it was Gundogan before Kevin De Bruyne.
Meanwhile, Spurs still in search of a manager. Craig, last time you were on, I think you described Antonio Conte and Spurs as a match made in hell. Well, it seems like everyone realised that over the last few hours. So overall now, who should they go for?
I thought the whole Conte discussion got us through a couple of days, right? But basically, whoever was putting this out, I'm not going to blame people here, but somebody was peddling this nonsense.
He didn't get it.
I mean, this good fit, and he might be able to, work with the players, and he'll make them better. And what a loaded, absolute tosh! I mean, seriously, he was only ever going to do one thing, and he did it at the interview. This is how he operates. So this whole discussion about Conte was just buying this guy. He was never going to Spurs. Never, ever, ever, ever. Right? Now, in terms of where they go now, I can't remember who was on that list, but I kind of wonder about maybe where Roberto Martinez is going to go, depending on what happens to Belgium at the Euros, how successful or not they are. This generation of Belgian players are coming towards the sort of twilight of their career. Brendan Rodgers has already said he could change his mind, but he said he's not leaving Leicester. I think Eddie Howe's stock has gone away down. Jurgen's way too busy with us on FC. Conte was never taking it. Why the hell would Pochettino go back there? Because you're walking back into the same scenario where you're fighting the same battles every day and every week because you're not getting the money. That leads me to somebody down the tree a little bit, and it would have to be somebody like Graham Potter, because I think they would be able to work with Levy a little bit better. He'd be able to work with them. And so maybe it's not Graham Potter, but it's a lower key manager, one that Levy and Joe Lewis feel that they can contain, and one that's not going to go into every press conference and start throwing the teacups around when he hasn't got 120 million to spend. So that's who they're looking for.
Who would you hire, Robbo?
I think Roberto Martinez, as Craig said, is a good fit in terms of, I think he's had his time with Belgium, whether they win or not. I think he's probably had enough as the international football, and he would be ideal. Levy would, he wouldn't want to keep saying to Daniel Levy, I need money to spend, I need money to spend. Daniel Levy could control him to a certain degree. I think he'd say all the right things in the press conference. He'd win over the fans for a little while they play some nice football. I think he'd be a perfect fit for them at the moment.
Good stuff, guys. Of course, it looks like it will be a busy summer of transfers. As always, you can keep up to date with all the latest news over on our website. Just click on Transfer Talk.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Spain kick off their Euro campaign on Monday against Sweden. But before that, they've got a friendly against Lithuania on Tuesday. However, Busquets positive for COVID, meaning... As we welcome Gab Marcotti to the show. Gab, am I right in thinking this will be an under-21 team? Am I right? Because obviously the senior team are isolating.
Yeah, it looks that way. And I think, you know, this Busquets situation is an obvious alarm bell for what can happen at the Euros. Because obviously Busquets, he'd been in the camp with the national team. It's not like, you know, he was going out and about. So... somehow, obviously, it takes a while for after you get infected, sometimes for the infection to show in the test. But it's obviously a huge concern, and it's really a nightmare scenario for the organizers and obviously the health of the players as well.
Yeah, it means he's out definitely for the first game, Andy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we just have to wait and see as to what happens with the rest of the team and whether there are other positive tests coming. I think what it does for the preparation of the Spanish national team as they look to play in the Euros is the fact that now you do not have training sessions as a group.
Right.
You have individual training sessions. Now, I don't care how good of a training session you have individually. This game, I mean, breaking news, is played as a team.
Mm.
And you need to have the guys out there working together. We've talked so many times, and I mean so many times, as to how important it is for international coaches and for coaches at international level to be able to have time to work with the teams. Well, this was that time. And now that time is gone. Because now you're working individually rather than as a group. It really affects the preparation for the Spanish national team as they look to play in the Euros.
Gab?
And if I could just add to this, Luis Enrique, in his great wisdom, he could have taken 26 players the way most managers have done. He didn't. He said, I don't need 26 guys. I think he only took 23. Again, you know, draw your own conclusions from that. Doesn't look like the cleverest decision as of right now.
I just want one last thing with you regarding Donnarumma. A lot of suggestions over the last couple of hours is that he's going to PSG.
Well, we talked about it, right? After Milan decided to stand tall and say, no, this is the contract, take it or leave it. And then they go and they sign Mike Maignan. He needs a club. There was talk of Barcelona, but obviously they have Ter Stegen. There was talk of Juventus. Obviously they have Chesney. They've got other concerns. Paris Saint-Germain have Keylor Navas, who actually had a pretty good season.
Yeah.
And actually just 6 weeks ago extended his contract with Paris Saint-Germain. I think this tells you a little bit how powerful Mino Raiola is as an agent, that he can just go tap a club on the shoulder and say, hey, you want to take my guy and you want to go and pay him. I think the numbers being quoted are 11 million euros net a season, which works out around right around $25 million gross, or an obscene amount of money weekly. I think it would make him the highest paid goalkeeper in the world or close to it. That just shows you the power. If if this deal is actually done, because we've seen this before. It could also be a way of trying to get other clubs out in the open. But it would be pretty extraordinary. And I think, I don't know, I think it would be a big risk for Paris Saint-Germain, because then what do you do with Keylor Navas on Keylor Navas wages on the hook for another three seasons?
Great stuff as always, Gav. Thank you very much. A lot more from Gav, of course, on the latest edition of the Gav and Jules podcast, which is available to listen to now.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
If you've got nothing to do tonight, watch Galacticos. It's very, very good.
Well, even if you have something to do, Dan.
Well, it depends.
Put it to the side and watch Galacticos.
Well, I don't know. Is it priority worthy like that? Well,
if you're going to promote it, then do it right.
No, I know, but you know, I don't know. It might be an anniversary or a wedding.
Okay, well,
or
if that's the case, then
something like that.
Then maybe put Galacticos to the side.
All right. So that's Galacticos, which is available on Plus. Meanwhile, come on, World Cup qualifying continues. Brazil, of course, looking to maintain their perfect start to the campaign, 4 points clear of Argentina. Some interesting games coming up when you take a look at those on Tuesday. Which one in particular catches the eye, Ali?
I would say Colombia-Argentina. And given the standings coming into this round of matches, you would have said Argentina, they're comfortable. Just right behind Brazil, they're fine. And yet you watch them play and you think, yeah, they're okay, but they don't seem to really have a handle as to what they do in the attacking half. And so, why is it significant when they play Colombia? Coming into this two matches, you had Colombia at 4 points, Argentina 10 points. No problem. Mm-hmm. No issues. Argentina much better than Colombia. Colombia won their game against Peru. Argentina only tied Chile. And now Colombia find themselves at Estadio Metropolitano at home, playing against a team in Argentina that is not really going to score a bunch of goals. You now have an opportunity to get 6 points out of the two matches and get yourself 1 point behind Argentina. This is how quickly things can change in Conmebol.
Brazil, meanwhile, loving it. They're playing Paraguay.
And to me, the focus on this game is not so much as to what happens during the match. It's what happens post-match.
Right.
Because if you believe Casemiro, he said, following their match against Ecuador, look, we're going to focus on Paraguay. And once we get the points that we need out of that game, we're going to talk about Copa America.
Okay.
Now, assume that they go and beat Paraguay in Asunción as Defensores del Chaco. Okay, Casemiro, come on over. Let's talk. What is it that you're going to say about Copa America? And how will this affect the participation or not of Brazil in the tournament? And how may that change whether that tournament goes forward? That's really the storyline.
All right, that's it. Stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Ali is with us, as is Stevie. And after some time off, Robbo is with us. I was kind of hoping that you'd had some sort of hair transplant during that time off, Robbo.
What?
Well, I had a chat with Antonio Conte. I wanted to get the same wig that he's got, but it just didn't work for me.
Hey, his plugs are something else, aren't they? Your absence has been noted. Robbo, good to have a smart person back on ESPN. Mm. Which team are you most looking forward to watching in the Euros?
I'm looking forward to seeing Italy because I know their players quite well, and I think they've had a very good qualifying group. They've done well in the pre-group friendlies. I don't think they're a great side, but if they play at their very best, I'm looking forward to seeing them put in some good performances. It's a team that need to play well. Italy have been in the doldrums for a little while now.
Do you want England to win, Robbo?
But I don't care whether England win or not. No, I'm not a fan of a particular fan of England. I'd like them to do well. It makes it good for the group.
Yeah.
So it doesn't. I want to see the best team win. Wow. That might be France. Wow. It might be Spain.
England,
it might be Germany. It might be England. It might be England. Yes, but when you're a commentator and I'm with Darkey throughout the competition, I can't be biased towards England, can I? I've got to commentate as a neutral.
No, professionally, I get it, but that shouldn't interfere with your...
Okay, I'll tell you the real reason.
Yeah.
England have had some excellent managers over the years that deserve to win something. I'm not sure Gareth Southgate is an excellent coach or an excellent manager. I think he'd be the wrong person to win it. He would be held as Sir Alf Ramsey in years to come. I don't think he's that.
So surely as a neutral, you shouldn't be hating Gareth Southgate either, right?
I don't hate him. No. I don't hate him. Don't hate him. I just don't think he's the... I don't think he should have ever got the job. He did a very good managerial job in getting the best out of the players. But I wouldn't say he's a top-class coach. And that was... He was found out in the semi-final against Croatia. I think England will do well, though.
Wow, Robbo is back.
He got personal quick.
Goodness me.
Wow.
Carrying on with your Italian thing, Robbo, do you think Italy has a good chance of making it into the semi-finals or finals? In addition, is this the best team that was selected to go to the Euros?
Yes, I think it was the best team. Mancini's done a really good job with that team because, you know, I do Serie A and some of those players are OK players. They're good players. They're not great players. So with this squad, I think he's done very well. I still think they're going to struggle to get to the semi-finals. A quarter-final place, I think, is the best they can hope for.
What if Southgate was in charge?
Group
stage. They'd definitely get to the semi-finals. But then they're just not quite manage it and be outplayed by somebody in the semi-finals.
Stevie, if Chelsea or Manchester City were added as a team in the Euros, would they definitely be favourites?
Ooh.
That's yes, isn't it? I'm surprised you...
I think so.
Yeah, that's not a no-brainer.
I think so. Listen, any team that spends a season pretty much together... knows each other inside out, as opposed to a team, regardless of how good the individuals are, who, what, four or five times leading up to a tournament have played together, has to have the advantage. And both City and Chelsea have got, you know, some world-class players. So, yeah, you'd have to think that the team that's been together would have the edge. Although, the France squad has been together for a long, long time, so they're probably the closest to it.
So we're saying Manchester City, Chelsea, how low do we go, Robbo? Manchester United, for example, would they win the Euros?
No.
No.
I don't think they would. I think Bayern would have a chance and one or two other clubs would have a chance. I wouldn't go as far as Manchester United because they didn't even win the Europa League, did they? So that was a struggle for them.
Oh, I'm going to go at them as well.
Whatever happened to representing your country and the passion and all of that, bringing players together?
But the football's not great, is it?
Okay. But why are you hating the tournament when it hasn't even started yet?
Because the quality of international football is so lacking to that of, say, Champions League.
Okay, but there is something to be said about representing your country.
Oh, God, yeah, completely. Yes. The passion I get, but from a pure quality point of view, you would obviously take domestic football all the time.
I like international football.
No, I get that, and I get the passion and the stories and everything.
I like international football.
You win a World Cup, that surpasses everything else, that defines your career. However, if we're just looking at this from watching a match as a neutral and the quality that's on show, international football is pretty much always a letdown.
Oh, you are really negative on international
football. No, I'm not.
For a guy that loves England and wants England to win and is coming home,
says,
you seem very down on this.
As good as these players are, you throw them together and you expect them to perform after just 2 weeks training.
I understand that. But there's something magical about international football.
Which I agree with.
You don't seem to be agreeing with it.
I do.
Is there an echo? I'm getting an echo. Something magical about international football.
Do you know who's got the rights for this tournament, Dan?
I know, and I'm very excited about that.
Are you?
Apart from... Yes.
Are you?
Apart from watching Gareth
I think you better be a bit more upbeat now, Dan.
You said you hope England will lose.
I'm talking about England, the tournament. I'm looking for it. It's going to be a great tournament. I can't wait for it to start.
Burr, burr, burr.
With the form of Cavani and Suarez has showed for their clubs respectively this season, despite both being 34 years old, can Uruguay go on and win the Copa America with these two beasts up front?
Okay, before I answer that question, out of the corner of my eye, I just saw Steven Nicol catching something coming up his face.
What's going on?
I don't know what just happened, but he's like catching.
What happened, Stevie?
Fell at me here.
Issues.
Tell you what, I was like a cat though. No danger.
Well, I don't know that Uruguay has enough in order to win Copa America. If Brazil and the full version of Brazil actually plays the tournament and playing it at home, I think they remain the favorites.
Robert, why are you in your studio? Why aren't you at home today?
Because I was guaranteed that this studio would work today, whereas it doesn't always work. So it's pointless driving an hour and 15 minutes for a studio not to work. But I was guaranteed it would work today, and I'm always pleased to travel the distance if I know we're going to get a good picture. That's the reason.
You've got your new internet at home. Why couldn't you just do it there?
Oh, yeah, my new internet's good, but the lighting's not the same, is it? You know, look how good I look today.
Robbo,
imagine the sweat's pouring off me. Don't worry about that.
Oh God, you're a sweaty man, Robbo. Robbo, Arsenal officially out of the big club league now after competing with the likes of Villa in the transfer market and failing to win the race for Buendia. Will a manager like Klopp help turn the fortunes around in the next few seasons?
You're not suggesting that Klopp's going to go to Arsenal, are you? But no, at the moment, Arsenal are out the top sides. They're a club that have been in decline for a little while. They can't. I don't think the board are going to spend big money. They've got a manager that I don't think is inspirational at the moment. There's a lot of arguments between players. I think they haven't got quite the right spirit. Arsenal are a side that need to have a very good season next year. Otherwise, they're a club that could be in even more decline.
Have you ever been hit by an object thrown from the stands? It's off the back of what happened in Denver yesterday, of course. Ali, I imagine you myself.
Yeah, well, actually.
Mainly from Mrs. Moreno.
That too. But going into a stadium in Costa Rica, and actually a few places in South America, our boss would get hit with bags filled with bodily fluids.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was outstanding. Makes you feel really good about yourself.
Beautiful.
Uh-huh. On the field, batteries, that's a popular one.
Right.
Yes. Which you must ask the question, how are these people getting so many batteries into the stadium?
Yeah, Costco.
Yes, it's a good deal. Good deal. Bulk price. Yes, absolutely. And they were throwing all of them on the stadium. So, yeah, I've been hit a few times.
Stevie?
I've never been hit with an object, but I've been spat on.
Oh,
which
great.
I'd rather get hit in the back of the head with a bottle and get spit on, to be honest with you.
Who spat on you?
It was an under-21 Scotland game in Italy. We played at a tiny stadium. I mean, it was a great atmosphere. It was really hostile. We actually won the game, which was brilliant. But I'll tell you what, every time the ball went for a throw-in, honestly, it was just everybody ran the other way to go and pick the ball up because we got pelted with spit and all kinds of gads.
Robbo?
I've got to say, no, I'm not from the crowd. I heard my nose broken three times by somebody elbowing me that I didn't know was coming.
Right.
So hit from the side without knowing it was coming, which is never good. But nothing from the crowd.
Will you be throwing things at Gareth Southgate during your commentary on Sunday?
No, I'll be very, very neutral. I hope he does very well. I think he's an outstanding coach, and I'm looking forward to the tournament, as I said all along.
Neutral? Did you say neutral?
Yeah. We're going to stay neutral. I mean, they're playing Croatia. It should be a great game, shouldn't it? England versus Croatia.
Yep.
The semi-final all over again.
I hate to think what you believe me. I actually did dislike somebody.
After a game like the US against Mexico, do you stay up and watch the post-game, call friends, have a drink? What did you do, Ali?
I went to sleep. This game ended at 12:45
at night. It was late, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was outstanding.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun. It really was. And I'm not interested in dissecting the level of play and all that nonsense. Just entertainment value, it was outstanding. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Wow, let's talk emotions, shall we?
Oh, that's
this is going deep.
That's where I feel.
Rob, I'm going to start with you because we know what you're like.
I'm an emotional guy.
Yes, very much so. What is the most emotional game that you have been part of?
The most emotional game I've been part of, there's two emotions, the very first one and the very last one. Oh. The first one as a 17-year-old playing, it was on the TV in those days, highlights, but in front of 40,000 for Arsenal against West Ham, local derby at 17, and had a very good game, and you know, all the headlines were about me, so that was a great moment, that's what you dreamed of. And the last one was rupturing my cruciate ligament and knowing that was going to be the end of my career. So two different emotions there.
Wow, yeah. Stevie?
Oh, easy peasy. 89 FA Cup final after Hillsborough.
Oh, yeah.
Unreal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ali?
Well, myriad of emotions. I would say the first game of my senior year in college, my grandfather, who I had a really good relationship with, had passed away that week, and I was not able to go back to Venezuela for the service. I stayed because we had a game that Friday, and I scored the game winner with 3 seconds to go, because in college it counts down.
Right.
And as it was counting down, I headed the ball in, and so that was very meaningful to me and to my family. And in terms of, I would say, powerful, positive emotions, semifinal Copa America 2011 against Paraguay, being in that tunnel, knowing the significance and the meaning of that game to our country.
Nice, beautiful stories. And now we have to end on a silly question. What is worse?
Hey, Ali, how far out was the goal?
Did you hear the part about my grandfather passing away, Stevie? It doesn't matter.
Oh, dear. I try to help Dan out and lighten up a bit.
Thanks, Stevie.
You succeeded quite nicely.
What is worse, Dan's mispronunciation of the English language or Stevie's bathroom art? I've had some problems reading recently, Robbo. I said chasm instead of chasm. Uh-huh. Hyperbole instead of hyperbole.
Well, don't worry. As you well know, I'm not going to say what I was doing, but I've had to read loads and loads of scripts and read loads and loads of lines. I'm far worse than you, Dan, let me tell you.
I'll
get everything wrong.
Oh, Rob, I'm being nice.
Well, for a change.
Yeah, exactly.
Your name is not Southgate.
Oh, come on. I'm always nice to you, Dan.
That's true. Stevie, how has your weekend been? You've had lots of family in. Have they been impressed with your bathroom art? And by the way, that's not some weird...
We've had a shocker.
I don't know. That sounds strange.
Had a complete shocker.
What happened?
So there was 8 adults.
Wow.
8 adults, 4 kids, 1 baby, 3 dogs.
Wow.
And the AC wasn't working properly.
Oh, Stevie.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you what, it was absolutely boiling. We couldn't go outside because it was too hot. And we couldn't be inside because it was even hotter inside. Absolute nightmare.
Well, at least that's cheap to fix, yeah, Stevie?
Oh, I'll tell you what, you can ask me on Thursday when the guy comes out.
Oh, I'm sure. It'll be no problem.
I believe they've got a special
your swimming pool? Didn't you jump in your swimming pool?
Right. Swimming pool, that'll be right.
I thought everybody had a swimming pool in America.
Puddle.
Hey, Robbo, you're the only
person. A big puddle.
Robbo, you're the only one on this show that has a swimming pool.
What?
No, surely not.
I mean, who has a swimming pool in England?
I know, posh.
3 times a year do you use it? 3 times or something?
Oh, it's worth the money, though. All that money just for 3 times. It's great. When we bought the house, I wanted to fill it in, but my wife said we've got to keep the swimming pools because she goes in it loads of times, I think twice last year, and the grandchildren went in once. So it was absolutely worth it.
But you're happy about it. I think you've turned the page on it. I can see that it's not a big deal at all.
Cover comes on. I'm the pool boy. Chuck the chlorine in.
Pool boy.
Don't bother testing it. No. Sweep the leaves out. Unfortunately, I put a bit too much chlorine. My wife's hair went green the last time she went in, so that's why she doesn't go in very often.
What? This just real big problems in our lives. That is it. Thank you very much. ESPN FC is back tomorrow as we continue, ladies and gentlemen, the countdown to the greatest tournament in the world, the European Championships.
Yeah!